ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you rockin' wild!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Hey, 2015 is here. Last year, 2014, well, you know that, and it was great year. I had a fun time doing the show for an entire year by myself, with guests, of course, and friends. And, this year I decided I was going to add somebody permanently to the show. And, that's going to be my brother from another mother, Jody Havnot. What's up, Jody?
What's happening, Joe? Glad to be here again, man. It's been a little bit too long.
Yeah, it has been. And, the holidays always screw things up.
Right.
And, you get busy and then, yeah. And then technology is always can hinder things.
I know, that's right.
One of the cool things about, the fact that you do Strange Ways, I do Podcast Rock City, we talk often. And then I was like, man, I really want to have a permanent, co-host with me.
Right.
And you were like immediately on board. But one of the cool things is that we have people like Andrew Kiss who could come on. What's up, Andrew?
How are you doing?
How you doing? That was your Joey, huh?
I think so.
Yes.
Whoa.
That's a different Joey.
Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So you, how was, New Year's for you guys?
Not bad.
Mine was pretty good. I had to work,
you worked.
It was fun. Shit ton of people turned up, going fucking nuts.
Yeah, but you're a DJ, so when,
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the one who had to count it down, but it kind of screwed me because there was, I kept waiting around for the ball to drop on the, there's TVs all over the bar and stuff. And, they had all these New Year's shows on, but, the sound's down, I'm DJing, and I'm watching the clock because I'm the one who has to count it down. And it's 11:59, and they're still not showing it. And I'm like, what the hell? I kept waiting and waiting, and all of a sudden I watched the clock tick over to midnight myself. And so I was like, fuck. So I just started counting it down, and I guess no one really knew the difference.
Yeah,
but
nobody knew. They know now because they're all
What's
listening.
Up with that, though? No ball dropping? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it actually – I watched it as well, and it was like there were a lot of commercials running right before the ball dropped. And with 1 minute to go, it just, came right back on. And I'm imagining that was the prime moment for, advertising. Like, the most money happened at 2 minutes before the ball dropped. And people were, paying, whatever, 100 grand for a 30-second spot.
Right.
Listen, I wanted to talk to you guys about a couple of subjects. We're going to start with the Chris Jericho Paul Stanley interview. Chris Jericho, professional wrestler for the WWE. He used to be on the WCW, and then he crossed over. I think he was the first person to cross over to the WWE. I, Joe, happen to be a huge fan of Chris Jericho. I'm not I like his band as well, but I'm more of a wrestling fan as far as Chris Jericho goes. You guys are familiar with him, right?
I kind of knew who he was, but I'm not a wrestling guy. But I knew about Fozzy as well.
Fozzy, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sandpaper.
I thought it was a great interview, though, man.
It really was a great interview. His band is mostly from Atlanta. And, and that's how I really started paying attention to Fozzy. But he turns out to be a really huge Kiss fan. And I'm listening to – it was his 100th episode, and Paul Stanley did it with him in Las Vegas, right?
Right.
And Paul said it was a really great interview, man. Paul, I could listen to Paul talk all day.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. And he immediately started with a bunch of first off, in the intro to the show, I thought it was really funny that Chris Jericho called his show Pot of Thunder.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if the Pot of Thunder guys like that idea. But I thought that was interesting. But he was truly fanboying out.
Yeah, it was great.
While talking about interviewing with Paul Stanley. And, and then in the interview, I could almost see him smiling through the whole thing.
Right. I like how he took the whole thing of, like, you know, like the clip from Metals, the Metal Years, where Paul's like, I'm not going to tell you you can't do it because I did it. And that was like his whole drive to even become a professional wrestler and shit. Right. It's really cool. Right. Really cool.
Yeah. And pretty much to do anything that he wanted to do. And the first thing that caught my attention in the interview was they immediately started talking about the set list, which I thought was interesting, where he said, Paul Stanley said, diehards are amazing, but consistency is what we're going for. I'm imagining that's like their response to, or Paul's response to people saying, oh, you should have deep cuts in the set list. You know, basically what he was saying was, you know, the diehard fans are awesome, but the majority of the people out there have not seen us. So we have to play, you know, what they're expecting.
Right. But do you think that those people that don't know anything about Kiss are really expecting Love Gun? All they're really expecting is Rock and Roll All Night,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and you know, I'm imagining that half of them are sitting around going, how come we didn't hear Beth?
Right.
You know? So,
yeah.
So really, I agree with that. I think that they could pretty much play anything. And the band, and you know, as long as they put on the show and Gene spits the blood in the fire, Paul Stanley flies out, you know, they could be playing obscure Beatles songs and, you know, these kids aren't going to know.
Yeah. I mean, around here, the only songs you ever hear like on the radio is either Rock and Roll Night, Detroit Rock City, Shout It Out Loud. That's it.
Right.
Really?
Maybe Beth. But yeah, no, they don't play anything.
What's it like in the Great White North there?
I've only heard Rock and Roll All Night twice on the radio. And I think once was because it was around the time of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah.
And Lick It Up.
Really?
Yep. Huh. And that's the only time I've ever heard Kiss on the radio.
Wow.
I don't think I've heard Lick It Up in a very long time on the radio.
Yeah.
Satellite radio. Satellite radio for Kiss is the bomb.
Right.
Okay.
But terrestrial, not so much.
Right, exactly. So when Paul's talking, he's also talking about how many classic songs they have. That's what makes it so hard to, you know, to pick a set list and to do it right, you know? So many people want so many different things. Where basically he was even saying, you know, we have so many songs that are great. If we, you know, were to take and put the oath in like they did on the cruise, it's like something has to come out. It's like, and he's like, What comes out? Love Gun, Detroit Rock City, Shout It Out Loud, you know.
Right. Lick It Up. Get rid of Lick It Up.
The War Machine, too.
So
yeah,
tired of those.
Look how easy it was for us.
Well, I mean, like, how many, like, not a lot of, it didn't really, Hide Your Heart didn't get too big of a reaction live, so why couldn't you have, like, the Oath there instead? Because if, like, the majority of your audience is only waiting for, like, two songs, like maybe Rock and Roll All Night or Shout It Out Loud, then, like, what's the difference between what you put in the middle there?
Right.
Like, is it just hits that they think they're hits and they think the entire audience knows? Like, I think you can put a lot more obscure tracks and nobody's going to know the difference.
I think
like, none
right.
of the tire kickers are going to know about the difference.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, and then I think you please the diehard fans as well. You know, he really talked about, you know, the cruise a bit, you know, basically saying, you know, it. Without saying so, you know, talking about how hard it is to please the diehard fans.
Well, yeah, that's true. We're always going to bitch about something else.
Right, yeah. I mean, it, you know, if you could go on Facebook right now and find people arguing about what's better, what's worse, this is good, that's bad, you know. And that's the one of the cool things about being a fan is for 40 years of a band that's 40 years old is there's so much.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the set list, we all agree though that as long as they put those few songs in there that have to be in there, like Detroit Rock City, Rock and Roll All Night, what else?
I honestly think Love Gun is big enough.
Okay, Love Gun.
Shout Out Loud.
Shout Out Loud. They can pretty yeah.
They gotta have Black Diamond.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Black Diamond. So that's four or five. Everything else could be like just fun, yeah. you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, how many people know the song Psycho Circus and they opened with that one? You know what I mean? Right, like, you right. Yeah, really put.
Paul really loves that song.
Yeah, he talked about that in depth yeah. in the interview.
Yeah, it was cool. I like how he was saying that he was writing it with, like, Ezrin in mind, you know?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You know, and he also said that Ezrin was supposed to produce the album, but he couldn't right. get...
He had a failing internet business that he needed to attend to.
But the whole thing was, is if he would have gotten in there, that album would have been different.
Oh, absolutely.
It might have been listenable.
Might have been
hopefully
better.
A lot less 3D.
Yeah. So bizarre. But one of the things also that I thought was interesting, he didn't, I mean, the one thing about Paul is he never has a problem saying what's on his mind. Even if
that's
it's
true.
Even if it's about Gene. You know, and he was talking about the quotas and, like, they were talking about, what was it, burn, bitch,
burn? Yeah, burn, bitch, burn.
You know, and he was like, what was it like? You know, and he was like, it's awful. It's right. awful, you know, that Gene had to have this many songs on the album, you know. And,
yeah, just from entitlement, you know.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I thought that was really interesting because basically what he's saying is, you know, we're busting our ass, you know. It was him and Desmond Child pretty much, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, writing songs for the record, and then, you know, Gene comes in and goes, here's my songs, and they got to go on the record.
Yeah, but a lot of those Gene ones that people slag are good. Like, I like Burn, Bitch, Burn, and it always...
Me too.
Yeah, you know, I like people, it too.
It's pretty good.
Let's see. The headline that caught my attention the most on Facebook about this interview was the fact that Paul Stanley... Basically, you know, Chris Jericho asked him, you know, about Ace and, you know, and Peter. And he's like, you know, people are always saying, you know, why don't you stop, you know, ragging on Ace and ragging on Peter. But he's like, you know, but you ask the same questions in every interview and the answer is not going to change.
Right.
You know,
and that, I like that too.
And that makes complete and total sense. You know, mm-hmm. You know, I've got an ex-wife or a few and, you know, if somebody were to ask me, hey, you know, how was that experience with your ex-wife? I'm not going to all of a sudden go, oh, I remember it differently. It was great. It was so awesome. It's
right.
You know, the story doesn't change. It stays the same. And at least in Paul's eyes, he sees it as, well, he both good and bad. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just his truth, you know.
It's his truth. You know, it's how he feels about it. You know, I thought it was really interesting because when asked who Paul's favorite guitar player to play with, who did he say?
He said Ace. Yeah, I loved how he was, like, saying how they played so well together and how Ace really had it together, you know?
Yeah, you know, and that really was pretty awesome. The way he wasn't afraid to say, oh, man, when Ace and I played together, it was magic. It was amazing. And that's the truth. In his head, he wanted that forever.
Yeah, he did.
He wanted that forever. And it's like, it's another one of those situations where I'll sit back and I'll go, you know, Ace ruined that for Ace.
Yeah, it was his choice.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I and I'm a big Ace fan, just like anybody else. But, you know, you could hear it when Paul's talking about playing with Ace. He's saying, man, when we played together, everything ruled, you know?
Yeah, one big guitar.
One big guitar, right.
It's great.
Just out of curiosity, Andrew, who's your favorite Kiss guitar player?
I'm going to have to go with Space Ace.
Space Ace. Okay. That's
followed very closely by Bruce, though.
Yeah. You know, that's the... I'm a big Bruce fan, too.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Yeah, and what he also said, you know, what Ace and... He and Ace started was like the foundation for what came afterwards.
Right.
You know...
What did you think about when he was talking about, like, how... with everyone else, they had to learn to play like to Paul with his style, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really cool because...
Super cool.
Yeah, he was basically saying, you know, he when he said that when we record the song one time and I'm not playing, it sounds completely different than when I'm playing along with the song.
Totally.
He said we give it a different groove and a different vibe.
Yeah, he'd even have to go as far as to be like, dude, watch my right hand. You know what I mean? Look at how I'm picking this.
Right.
It's cool. Also, super cool.
Also, I thought, you know, this is something that we can all talk about because we've all talked about it. I thought it was really great question asking when Chris Jericho brought up how fast they played in the Alive, in the Animalized Live Uncensored video.
Right.
And he was like, well, Gene thought faster was more, I wrote it down. What did he say? He said, Gene thought faster was more exciting.
It is.
It is.
Coming from Mr. Punk Rock.
I loved the sound on that, on that live video. I think.
Oh yeah, killer.
You know,
that would have been a great Alive. Like, that should have been Alive 3. I've always said
Alive 3. Yeah.
Yeah, they're on fire.
What do you think about that, Andrew? Mr. Kiss.
I don't like it when the songs are too fast, to be honest.
You like to, like the sound to be like you like on the record.
Well, like it could be faster, but like when it's just going breakneck speed all the time. I know that sounds weird, like because of the other music I listen to is generally faster, but for my Kiss music, I just prefer it to be like it doesn't need to be going like a million miles an hour. You know what I mean?
To me, on like the Animalize the video, you know, the uncensored concert, it just seemed like they were just kind of modernized and rocked up a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was awesome.
Well, that's true. It's a different take on it, I guess. Plus, you also have the option of listening to that version versus like stuff from the 70s or stuff from the 90s.
Right. And then, you know, I remember always going to the video store and renting that video constantly so I could. I was so excited when I was finally able to buy it.
Yeah. My mom had got me a copy of it like when it was new, and dude, I used to come home from school every day and watch that at least once a day, like for years, man.
Oh yeah. And it was so good.
Yeah, it still is.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think when we get done recording, I'm gonna watch it again.
All stage raps are like impeccable.
Oh yeah, he's talking about the buttonfly jeans.
Right.
That really does set it like to a time period, doesn't it?
Big time.
Yeah, it does. I also thought it was really interesting when he was talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, how he said that the week before he called Peter and he said, look, we don't see eye to eye on anything, but let's enjoy this.
Right.
You know, and I thought it was really interesting that he mentioned calling Peter because in my show that I did about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I felt like Peter's speech was like the most disrespectful to Paul and Gene. You know, he didn't say Paul and Gene. He said Mr. Stanley and Mr. Simmons.
Right.
And, you know, and I believe he said Ace, the original and only spaceman, I think is what he said.
You know, jeez.
And I'm like, that's really, you know, I kind of took from his, at least this is my opinion. I thought that he was being both, I mean, when he said Mr. Stanley, Mr. Simmons, it was because he didn't want to say my friend and he didn't want to say Paul or G, you know, that's the way I felt about it.
Right.
But you're listening to Paul and he's basically like, I called Peter and told him, you know, we're going to go here and we're going to, you know, enjoy what, you know, seems really strange that Peter didn't go and show up going, man, look, you know, it's awesome. This is what we started. They were really bitter about the whole not playing live thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of glad they didn't.
You know, more now than I was disappointed, you know, in April. But now I'm like, it probably wouldn't have been any good.
It's just like, I wouldn't want, it's kind of like when you go to a funeral. It's like, you don't want that to be the last memory you have. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Like, for me, it would have just kind of, you know, it wouldn't have been that great. It wouldn't have been as good as, like, the current band is live this summer, like they were, you know?
Right. You know, that was something else that Paul mentioned was they did 42 shows to 600,000 people.
Right. Blistering.
Yes. On the Def Leppard Kiss tour. And basically what he said was, you know, those are the people that he's going to pay attention to, and those are the people that he's going to cater to. And if you don't like the band anymore, thank you for coming before. Yeah, stop coming.
Yeah.
Stop coming. Stop listening. And I've been saying that for the longest time. It's just like, you know, it's like I watched That 70s Show, but the minute Eric was gone, I stopped watching.
Right.
You know, it's not like I sat around and went, God, I can't believe they took, you know,
right.
As soon as it became no fun anymore, I went, but people love this band so much and they didn't want it to change. And, you know,
yeah, there's people put a lot of expectations on these guys because they were so like powerful as the original four, you know, but you can't expect it to last for 40 years, you know.
Sure. Also, they talked about Paul had no problem saying somebody out there is going to replace me.
Right.
You know, and he didn't say they're going to act like me. He just said they're going to, you know, look like me.
Right. The Star Child character will live on, right?
Right, right. He said, you know, he said, I've always said that, you know, the band is more, you know, important than any single member.
Yeah, I mean, he's always said that.
Yeah.
Like from day one. Yeah,
from way back. You know, when he started talking about it the way he was, where he was saying, you know, the band could go on forever and the music could go on forever and, you know, the look could be the look. You know, I kind of thought to myself, you know, before I would not have gone to see that, but now I might, you know, go, I'll be curious.
I'd definitely be curious to see it at least once.
Yeah, one time. What about you, Andrew?
Absolutely. Just to see it. I don't know if I'd be a continuing customer, but it's one of those weird, awesome things you got to at least see once in your life, like a Kiss without Paul or Gene.
But would you guys pay the money that you would pay to see the real Kiss?
Well, they couldn't get away with the charging that much, I don't think.
I don't either. I wouldn't pay it. I wouldn't.
No.
You know.
No, I wouldn't pay $100 to see the show. But, you know, the problem is going to happen is that it's so expensive to put on their production that the tickets have to be expensive, not just because, you know, the guys make so much money, but because a pyro show and a big, huge stage production, you know, isn't free.
I think they'd have to scale it down then, because they'd have to think that not as many people would go and see them, like, because of the fact that Gene and Paul aren't in there anymore.
Right.
Right.
Like, they might just move to more theater venues.
Yeah, but do you think that it's like they're put in a weird position because you want the huge Kiss show. That's the only way it's going to live on, right?
That's true, but you can't really afford it if not as many people are going to see him.
Yeah, so what are they going to do?
Yeah.
But
it's like a catch 22.
But look what happened in Vegas, you know? Most of those people that were in that place to see Kiss in Vegas were probably passerbys. Hey, we're in Vegas and Kiss is here. Let's go see Kiss.
Right.
Do you think they would know the difference between like Paul Stanley or just a new Star Child?
You're not so sure? I don't know. I'm not really sure. I mean, I can tell you this. I know for absolute sure that people think that Tommy is Ace.
Oh, yeah. I have a few friends who went to see Kiss during the Sonic Boom tour. Thought that, oh, wait, who's Tommy?
Wow.
Like, they thought that was Ace.
Right. You know, and that partially is why the haters hate, is because, you know...
Mm. Right.
You know, but he says Tommy on stage. I don't really get that whole thing. It's not calling him Ace. But I also thought it was really interesting that he had no problem saying the farewell tour was to get rid of Peter and Ace.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he said that, you know, they hit the lottery twice and they blew it twice.
What'd you think of, like, you were at the farewell tour. You know how Paul was saying that he wasn't having fun and everyone could tell? Like, I couldn't tell.
No.
It was great. No. I had a blast.
Yeah, I had no idea that they were unhappy.
I didn't either.
You know, I could tell you that the first song that Ace sang I can't remember exactly what it was. It might have been Shock Me. I can't remember the set list exactly, but he missed like the first line.
Really?
Yeah, and I thought that was really strange. And when they showed Peter on the screen, it did look like he was playing very, very, very limp-wristed. And I just happened to be with a drummer at the show who, of course, pointed out to me that he was using triggers, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and that bothered me a little bit, but, you know.
But he was using those even on the reunion tour.
Reunion tour, right, yeah. But
you got to cut the guy some slack at his age. Yeah. He can't bang like he used to.
I know, but as D-Rock said before, like, Neil Peart is pretty up there in age, and he can still pull it off.
Yeah. True.
Nico McBrain from Iron Maiden, Scott Travis from Judas Priest. Like, all these guys, all these older gentlemen still can really... Yeah, because they still have the drive to do it. He's just bitter. Like, I doubt he really practices his drums anymore.
Yeah, that's possible. When you saw the farewell tour, Jody, who opened?
It was Skid Row without Sebastian, right. and then Nugent, and then Kiss.
Here like in Atlanta, Nugent. When he was here in Atlanta, Derek St. Holmes got on stage with him, and they did Stranglehold together.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because he lives here.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and that was really kind of cool to see. You know, that's a little off the subject, but.
It's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see, you know, Derek St. Holmes on stage with them. I think Tommy Aldridge is on drums.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. Let's see, what else? I wrote a few other things down, but let's see. I know that, you know, basically, if you're listening to the show and you've listened for a while, what we're going to start doing, Jody and I, and, you know, and I'm guessing we're just going to have Andrew on because he's fun. So, you know, we're just going to take every week's worth of news. It will, you know, every Sunday we'll get together and we'll BS, and then Monday we'll put it out, and it'll be the week's news and what we thought of it. And I think that's a really good idea, you know, for a show. And one of the other things that came up, you know, you got to be really, you know, you got to really pay attention because stuff sneaks in and you don't notice, but it's an older thing. And but something that came up this week was they announced Kiss Cruise 5. They're going to be doing Kiss Alive in its entirety on the cruise, wearing the Kiss Alive costumes. Now, that will be the 40th. This is the 40th anniversary now of
Alive,
right? So that makes sense why they would do that. You know, one of the things that Paul said and then immediately got chopped up for was where he said, you know, we're going to be wearing the costumes that we wore when we recorded Alive. And people were immediately going, no, that you and Gene wore.
Well, I was going to say, how is Gene good to fit into?
Yeah.
But it's not the original one.
No. Definitely not. But,
so you think they'll have the candelabras and shit?
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool. You know, the other thing is if I'm reading it right, you could get your picture taken with Kiss with or without makeup.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, man, I've done the makeup, you know, three times now. I might, if I were to go on the cruise, I might go, yeah, I'm going to do the day that they don't, you know, wear makeup because it would be cool to get that shot, you know, to put it in with, you know, everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, they also said they're going to be doing deep cuts for the acoustic show, which, you know, I went on the cruise, and as soon as I got off the boat, man, I had, like, a survey waiting for me, and it was asking, you know, what do you want? And everybody was like, on all the Facebook pages, please make sure you say deep cuts. You know, and when Paul Stanley in that interview with Chris Jericho, he was saying, you know, what do people want to hear? She's So European. And I'm like, man, it would be awesome to hear.
Hell yeah, it would.
Just like, I don't see why you couldn't throw that out there. I mean, like we said, the drive-by, what is it? What do you guys call it? Fan, you know?
Tire kickers.
The tire kickers. Yeah. They're not going to know the difference.
Right. I don't think there's any tire kickers on the cruise anyway.
Not on the cruise. That's for sure. you know, and they, you know, they could pull out "She's So European." That boat would explode.
Be badass.
It would be badass. Okay, last topic. You ready?
Yep.
Now mm-hmm. I noticed that it's a little bit older of a interview, but it really popped up a lot on Facebook, and it was that Ace is disappointed that, you know, people are calling his tour the loser tour, and how Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons really got to eat their words because he's doing so well and he's 8 years sober. And, you know, now I didn't see Paul Stanley or Gene Simmons calling him the loser tour. Or, did you guys see this?
I've never seen any.
Nope.
Only thing negative I've seen about the tour is that he was late a lot of times coming on, you know?
Right. And I think that had something to do with how many people, you know, wind up paying for the meet and greets. I don't think they expected that many.
Right. You know what happened to, you know, Slade, right?
Yeah.
Slade Fraley. She went up to Chicago to see a show and paid for the meet and greet and this big package, all this money. And Rachel, you know Rachel as well, she went with her and just had a regular ticket, okay? And it turns out that Rachel had a better seat in the venue than she was on the floor, like fourth row. Slade paid all this crazy money, and they made a bunch of the VIP people sit up in the balcony, like way away from the stage. Yeah.
No way.
And she was pissed. I'd be like, fuck that. You know, meanwhile, my friend who paid, you know, $40 or something the day of the show is down in fourth row, and you got all of us VIP people up in the balcony? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, that seems a bit ridiculous.
And so she asked Ostrowski, you know, like John Astronomy, that guy.
Right.
She asked him what's going on, and supposedly they sold too many VIP tickets. But I still don't get why they would just shuffle them off to the balcony. It doesn't make any sense. But I tell you what, man, I'd be fucking pissed.
I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'll tell you, this happened to me with when Aerosmith and Kiss came through. It was supposed to rain really bad that day, and so when I purchased my tickets, I purchased them through the fan club, the Aerosmith fan club, because my wife at the time, we won't bring up that wound, she was part of the fan club. She's a big Aerosmith fan. We bought our tickets. It was actually about a week before. We knew the weather was going to be bad, though. Now, the day of the show, my other friend, he purchased tickets right off Ticketmaster. He was 10 rows ahead of us.
Wow.
And we were one row outside the covering of the amphitheater.
Oh, no.
So when it rained, it was like really awful. We had a great time, too, and it was really crazy because Gene did God of Thunder, and it rained even more during that. And we were like, nice. Wow, this is really a massive coincidence. It's pretty funny. But, yeah, if there's one thing that I believe, it's that, the people that work for Ace, you know, I constantly hear that it's not really, you know, well put together.
Right.
You know, and that's sad.
Doesn't seem like it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was, they could have really, like I said, had things together. Superfan Andy Moyen said he had a great time. I talked to him about it, and he said it was really great. And, you know, one of the things that kind of pisses me off when I look at even Slade's picture, Ace just looks miserable. He doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, it's like he's too, I don't know. He was like that at Contamination as well. He seemed bored out of his mind, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, why am I here? You know, and that kind of hurt. It's kind of hurtful. You know, I'm looking at every picture. It's exactly the same.
It's a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, it's a thumb up in the air, no smile. You know, these people don't, you know, it takes them, you know, most of them, you know, a week to earn $250 to come in. That's how much it was, right?
Yeah, it was something like $250.
Yeah.
Almost pushing $300, I think.
You know, $250 to come and meet you, and, you know, you should be smiling in the picture. You should be like, thank you. You just paid my car payment, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, maybe he just doesn't like to smile in photos because, like, Slade said that at this past time in Chicago that he was real nice to her and was, like, making jokes with her and stuff. And she said he was really cool this time around, and he didn't seem as bored as he did at Contamination a couple years ago. But it's just when he takes a photo, it's that same face and thumb every time.
Every single time, man. It's like, truly amazing how, it was really amazing how you can look at everybody's picture and they're all the same. And, right. And always the person in the picture is like, yeah, I'm with Ace, you know?
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I'm with some random person, you know?
I would love to have a picture with him with his smile, you know, because he's got a great smile.
He's Ace, man. He's so cool.
Right.
You know? And when I met him most recently, which was the Days of the Dead thing that they did here, that's when I got him to sign my leg.
Right.
You had to pay, you know, it was $60 for an autograph on a poster, $30 for my leg.
Wow.
You know, and then my buddy Nickelbag Rick from Pod Vomit. I just said that. Pod Vomit. If you want to listen to a show that's dirty and nasty.
Gross. It's they gave me a couple of shout outs.
Yeah, they're pretty nasty. When he met Peter, now he has Gene, Ace, and Peter tattooed on him autograph wise. When he met Peter, he told Peter, I'm gonna get your autograph tattooed on me. Peter didn't even charge him.
Right on.
He just signed him. He was like, really? You're kidding me? He's like, no. And he signed him. I thought that was pretty interesting. All right, so listen, this is a pretty good show. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, it's always fun talking to you, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate you both being here. I hope everybody out there listening is enjoying it. Go to podcastrockcity.com, and all of my shows and future shows are on there, and it's a scrollable site. Basically, it's like there's a player. It has all the shows, and you just scroll through. You can listen. You can see all the topics. You can listen. There's a bunch on there with Jody and I. There's a few with Andrew and I. And if you've never heard me talk about Andrew before, yes, his real last name is Kiss. I know you probably get tired of people saying that, don't you?
No, it's just funnier every time hearing you say that.
Yeah, it's true because people are going, yeah. Why are they calling him Mr. Kiss? No, yeah, it's because he is Mr. Kiss.
For anyone wondering, it's Hungarian. So just if anyone's wondering where that comes from.
Well, Andrew's a well Hungarian.
Yes, nice one.
Except when it's cold.
Okay, so all right, so we're going to end this show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Don't forget to go to podcastrockcity.com or the Facebook page. On podcastrockcity.com, you could order T-shirts designed by Mr. Ken Mills. We got to give lots of shout-outs to all the shows. So Podkist, The Kiss Room.
KST.
KST. Strange Ways, right? That's you
guys. Yeah.
You got a new show coming up maybe. It depends on how it edits. Who else? Pods and Sods. Yep.
Cassius Morris show.
Yes, he's all over the place. I heard there's a documentary getting made about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the previews interviewing the guy who plays Mr. Leahy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is really blowing up for him. Who else? Who are we missing?
Did you say The Kiss Room?
Yep.
Podkist.
Yep.
Watching You.
Decibel
Geek. Oh, yeah, Watching You.
Watching You, yes. Decibel Geek, Watching You. Pod of Thunder, not Chris Jericho's Pod of Thunder. And Chris Jericho's show.
Right.
That was really good. He did a great job interviewing. And if you listen to that show, he interviews tons of people. And it's a really good show. And I'm sure he's listening. Thank you, Mr. Jericho, for doing such a good interview. He doesn't give a shit. Anyway, all right. Thank you, guys. Got anything to say before we kick it?
Nope. Just nice being back on, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. We will see you guys next time. Peace.
Greetings from Jan Bell, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast wants to invite you to a rock and roll party. Boy and Jody have not, D-Rock, and Clinton Harris are the strangest Kiss podcast known to our scientists at this time.
Pretty mystical.
Your Kiss Army bros celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder.
Kiss!
You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher and blah, blah, blah. Just Google it. Thank you and keep on rocking.
They are serious.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
Hi, I'm Cassius Morris, host of Kiss Podcast Creatures of the Net. Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a Kiss fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better f***ing let it!
We'll see you here.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized...
Yeah.
Oh, f***.
Oh, f***. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washtub bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? Is your newfound love of Axe body spray, leather wristbands, and mountains of hair care products driving those close to you crazy? Has your overwhelming desire to crank Nickelback, drink a sixer of Natty Ice, and yell at girls from the back of a pickup truck seriously impaired your work or social life? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast corrects the chemical imbalance created by listening to bands like Theory of a Dead Man and Three Doors Down, so that with time and your hosts Chris and Aaron's help, you can move toward recovery. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right, their daddies are all right, they just seem a little weird. They even got their Kiss records out. This is Ken from the Podkiss. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a Kiss fan, chances are you've checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the Podkiss feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of Podkiss. Tell a friend about Podkiss today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. Podkiss.
That's a picture of Joseph Kiss Sr., who came up with the vision of Kiss in 1753.
Right, Joseph Kiss.
Brother, that's, of course, a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph Kiss Sr.
All right.
Hi, Kiss fans. This is J.R. Smalling, and I'm pleased to announce the release of our new book, Out on the Streets, written by me and the other members of the original Kiss crew. This book chronicles the glory days of the hottest band in the land from 1974 to 1976. You'll hear the real tales of what it was like to be on the road with Kiss during those early years. For more information or to purchase, visit our website, www.theoriginalkisscrew.com. That's crew with a K. You wanted the book and you got it. And we hope that you enjoy it.